Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. This is God's Word. Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and he will commend you, for he is God's servant to do you good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword for nothing. He is God's servant, an agent of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities not only because of possible punishment, but also because of conscience. This is also why you pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. Give everyone what you owe him. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. The commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and whatever other commandment there may be, are summed up in this one rule. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And do this, understanding the present time. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently, as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. If you want a title, we're going to be focused in verses 8 through 14. We did the first seven verses last week, and our focus today is in verses 8 through 14. If you want a title for this section, I would title it Understanding the Present Time. In this passage, we're told that there are things that we are to do because we understand the present time. We know what time it is. We get it. And so if you want two breakouts of that, here are your two points under that heading of understanding the time. First of all, know what you owe. And secondly, get up and get dressed. Okay? Get up and get dressed. Now we'll look at those together this morning. First of all, in verses 8 through 10, know what you owe. If we understand the present time, and that's said in the context of what God has done for us, all the things that have gone before, then what we owe to other people is not based on what those people have done for us or what those people might do for us. What we owe with regard to how we treat others is based on what God has done for us and what God tells us to do for others. I don't owe lost people the debt of preaching the gospel to them, except for the fact that the one who saved me when I was lost says, you're to go and preach the gospel. Well, so now I have a debt because I owe him everything. And in light of what he has done for me, I've already been told I'm to offer my body as a living sacrifice. And now I'm told that I am to love. I'm to love. It doesn't matter where you go on this planet, people tend to put themselves first. And in the midst of that kind of planet, we're supposed to be following the one who emptied himself and gave up everything in order to redeem us. That's who we're supposed to be following. And so we are supposed to be like him, having this same mind in us. Paul says to the Philippians that he didn't consider, that is, Jesus didn't consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he emptied himself, made himself nothing, was obedient even to the point of death on a cross. That's the way we're supposed to live. That makes no sense to the world. The world just doesn't get it. They think people who live like that must be fools. I mean, why would you let somebody else go ahead? Why would you give someone else the bigger piece? Why would you let someone else get that good deal? Years ago, a fellow named Mr. Hare, who lived in the Chicago suburbs right after World War II, decided that it would be good if there was some kind of database, back before people were talking about database. He thought it would be good if there was some kind of database that showed the houses that were for sale, because there were lots of guys coming back from the war and they needed houses for their families and people were moving out to the suburbs. And he thought, you know, I'm going to go around and photograph all the places that are for sale and get information about them, regardless of who's selling them, and put it in a notebook in my office. And when someone comes to my real estate office and they want to find a place to live, if I don't have one of those houses listed, I can refer them to somebody who will have something that will meet their need. So he photographed all these other people's listings, put them in a notebook in his office, and when people would stop by his office and say, we're looking for this, he'd say, I don't have anything like this, but so-and-so, here's his number. He's got this house. Take a look at it. Does that appeal to you? It's in a good location. He sent business to everybody else instead of trying to keep it all for himself. What a crazy thing. The other realtors thought that man is insane. But guess what? Next time those people wanted to get a bigger house, what realtor did they trust? You betcha. It took a while. And that wasn't even his motive. His motive was simply to meet needs, help other people out. He became one of the most successful realtors in the Chicago suburbs. That was before the days of MLS, multiple listing service. But he had the idea, and he just thought, we ought to help each other. So he did that. He also sold insurance. Back then, you could do all kinds of things. He sold real estate, and he sold insurance, and he saw that a neighbor of his, who was a banker, had gotten a German Shepherd puppy. He was out just walking around the neighborhood, saw the German Shepherd puppy playing in the front lawn, and he thought, oh. He had that banker's insurance on his house, and he said, Charles, it'd probably be good to get a policy on that dog in case it should ever bite someone. Now, I've owned a lot of German Shepherds. I own one right now. They are a wonderful breed. They are not nasty. vicious animals. They're great, protective, loving, shepherding animals. But if they ever bite, they tend to do harm. And so the banker said to him, good. Better luck next time. There's no way I'm going to buy another policy. And he said, okay. I think it was a year or two later, there was a story in the newspaper about how that banker's dog had bitten a child in the face. And Mr. Hare called the banker on the phone and he said, listen, I saw the item in the news about your dog. And the banker said, I cannot believe that you would call me at a time like this to rub it in. I knew, the minute that I heard that happen, I knew I should have bought that policy from you. I can't believe that you would call me now. He said, no, you don't understand. I went ahead and took out the policy. I've been paying the premiums myself. You come down to the office and we'll do the paperwork. You gotta be crazy to live like that. Or you gotta be a follower of Jesus, who's not looking to promote himself, but rather, like his Lord, to meet the needs of others. So, if you understand the present time, this world is passing away. Do you understand that? Would you buy a ticket for the Titanic if you knew it was going down? This place is going down. I am not obsessed about this upcoming election. Because I can tell you, based on history, we are in so much trouble that a politician is not going to pull it out. You understand? And the craziest people in our country are the ones who think, if we elect this person, that'll fix it. Does that mean we should not vote? No. Does it mean we shouldn't be informed? No. It does mean that we better understand the times in which we live. And we better be focused on the kingdom of God. And not... I saw two... I mean, I got sent two Facebook things. One of them said, what happened? Did America move? How come I have to press 1 for English? I thought, well, I can understand why that person feels that way, because I've felt that way before. Just about 2 entries down on my stream was another person who was writing. Had not seen the other one, had no knowledge of it, but they were just writing with something else on their mind. They said, Christians follow a Jew who lived in the Middle East and never spoke a word of English. We are living at the far ends of the earth where the gospel has reached. Give thanks to God. What an entirely different perspective. Instead of worrying about having to deal with other people who don't speak our language, imagine having to go to all the trouble of pressing 1. Just who do they think they are? Why should I have to use my finger? Instead of having to do that, why don't we think about how amazing it is that we have the Bible in our own language? How astounding is that? People paid with their lives in order for us to have the Bible in English, because we were the barbarians. We were the ones living at the ends of the earth. Folks, understand the time and know what you owe. Know what you owe. Love is the fulfillment of the law. It's not about warm fuzzies. It's about sacrifice. This is how we know what love is. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's what love looks like. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Jesus is the personification of the description of love that we find in 1 Corinthians 13. If you want to know how you're doing on the love thing, just read through 1 Corinthians 13 and see if people could put your name with that list. Can they say Jim is patient and kind? He doesn't envy, he doesn't boast, he's not proud, he's not rude, he's not self-seeking, he's not easily angered, doesn't keep record of wrongs. If not, then Jim has some work to do. Dying to self, being filled with the Holy Spirit, because the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, temperance, faith. No law against those things. You see, love is the fulfillment of the law, and so in light of what God has done for us, when he says you owe it to be loving, okay, if you say so. That I have to be that way because that's the way he is toward me. God commands us, and we owe him everything. So know what you owe and do what he says. Love is the fulfillment of the law.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. Each one is unique, but all of them are ours. In our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a few moments to encourage us. I want to ask you to do 3 things, in fact. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, and learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we will remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread his word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We are depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
And his home. Verse 11 and following. Verses 11 through 14. Get up and get dressed. Most of the time I'm awakened before the alarm goes off and I turn the alarm off. I just have it there as a backup in case I don't wake up on my own. One of the great things about being older is that your body awakens you to take care of things. And so I usually don't have too hard a time waking up in the morning. I just kind of come awake, usually same time every day. And usually I can tell myself if I need to get up earlier, you need to wake up at this time instead, and that's when I'll wake up. It's remarkable. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. We all have an internal clock. Well, I can recall sometimes when I had to be awakened, particularly when I was younger. In my teen years, I wished that I could get a job as a mattress tester. Because I thought, what a wonderful thing to be paid in order to report to people how well you slept. Okay? But the fact of the matter is, I remember what it is to find it hard to wake up and hard to get up. And Paul writes to us as believers, and he says, verse 11, the hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber. What does that tell us? That we have a natural tendency to get sluggish, to get sleepy. I cannot take a nap during the day because if I do, it totally messes up my circadian rhythm and I find myself feeling like I've been drugged the rest of the day. It's just like, I'm sorry. I really haven't been drinking. I just, for some reason, can't get you into focus. Well, let me tell you, regardless of how you feel, regardless of the fact that you would love to just tune it all out and let it all fade away, it's time to wake up. It's time to get up. It's time to get dressed. And that's what we're being told in this passage. Look at it. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. That is an interesting image. Please notice when many people believe it is appropriate to wake up and get up. Before the sun. Okay? It's not, you know, wake up. The sun has been out for 3 hours. It's wake up. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So, let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime. In other words, the day isn't quite here yet. But even though the day is not yet quite here, we're supposed to behave like people behave in the daytime. I tell young couples who are dating, you lose about 20 IQ points every hour after 9 o'clock. Okay? I mean, you just need to understand that if you stay up real late, you're not going to make as good decisions, and it's going to make it much tougher the next day. Just don't do that. Okay? Go to bed at a reasonable hour and get up early and get going on the day. And, well, everybody else is asleep. Well, then that's a great time to get things done. Okay? Because you need to be behaving, even in the darkness, as if the light is already here. Because the light is shining in your heart. Put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Why does he list those things? Because even for Christians, those things can be a temptation. I think if you're a Christian, you would not even be tempted. Well, then you are living in la-la land. Okay? Christians are tempted to do stuff they shouldn't do. Amen? So whatever, well, I have not been tempted toward an orgy in years. Okay? Well, what about toward dissension? What about toward jealousy? You see, Paul tacks those on with the others so that we understand it's all the same stuff. We have our respectable sins over here, the things that don't get preached against much. Because we'd rather preach against the kinds of things that those people out there in society are doing. And it makes us irate that people would behave like that. How can they be so wicked? Well, what about our sins? Well, nobody's perfect. Please understand, it's time to wake up, get up, get dressed. And what does that look like? It looks like Jesus. What are you supposed to put on? Verse 14, rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. Clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. Put on Christ. Realize He is our righteousness. He is every piece of the armor that we're supposed to wear in Ephesians chapter 6. He's our salvation. He's our righteousness. He is the truth. He is the gospel. He is our peace. He is the word of the Lord. All the armor, everything we need in order to stand firm against the enemy, all of it is found in Christ Jesus. So put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Find your identity in Him. Realize that's how God's able to look at us and just be filled with love toward us. So, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. And do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Where does sin start? Starts inside. I'm not going to do it. I'm just going to think about it. Okay? I'm not actually going to rob the bank. I just thought it'd be fun to kind of draw out a plan and devise a means whereby I could rob the bank. Right? Don't be a goofball. Don't even think about that stuff. I'm not going to have an affair. I'd just like to fantasize about one. Why? I'm not going to cheat on my taxes, but I did come up with this idea and I bet it would work. No! Do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful flesh. Okay? Just don't go there. Just don't go there. Don't think about it. Do you know what that says? You not only, by God's grace, through the power of the Holy Spirit, have the capacity to say no to bad behavior, you can actually change the way you think. You can. By God's grace, through the power of the Holy Spirit, you can have your mind renewed. I've shared with a number of folks, a young man who called and said, I've started going to bed with my Bible open on the bed so that when I wake up in the morning, I can read the scriptures and it totally changes what kind of day I have. What's he doing? He's decided to renew his mind. You and I, if we're offering ourselves to the Lord, are being transformed by the renewing of our minds. That's the purpose of gathering like this and spending so much of our time here, not just praying, not just worshiping, not just celebrating in the Lord's Supper what God has done for us, but having our minds washed over with the Word of God so that our thoughts get cleaned up and our attitude gets adjusted and we're reminded of what we already know. So, you know what time it is? Understanding the present time, you need to know what you owe. And you need to wake up and get up and get dressed.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.